Well, this evening I want to take the woman as the, shall we say, the subject of this sharing tonight, and see if we can understand where she came from, what part she plays in the economy of God, and so on and so on. Because this is a mystery for most people, and it's just part of the mystery of God. The reason why the woman is on the earth, as I did a research on the word woman in the Hebrew language, I came to the conclusion that the root word that was behind it simply meant that she would be a test. And so to understand then how this would function, or what the reasoning behind it, was that we don't know how long Adam was in that garden walking and talking with God every day. It could have been 1,000 years. We don't know. As we read the story, it's almost like, you know, he's created here and this and that, and it's all over in the like 3 or 4 days. He could have been there for who knows how long. Every day, walking and talking in fellowship with God. Now, let me put something to you. As a woman, for instance, if you were the only woman in this world, I mean, there was not another woman in the entire world, and a man walked up to you and said, you know, I think you're wonderful, I think you're the greatest, I'd really like to marry you. Would you ever know whether he loved you?
There wasn't.
You wouldn't. Because there's no alternative. You understand that? Okay. Translate the whole conversation now back to the Garden of Eden. Here is the Lord God, God, who's walking and talking in the garden, and Adam is walking and talking, fellowshipping with him. How would God know whether Adam really did love him? Because his relationship with God in the garden was a relationship based on love.
Yes.
There was no law in the Garden of Eden. The prohibition regarding the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not a law. That was a father talking to a son, saying, I don't want you to touch the fruit of that tree because I know what the result will be. It'll mean a break in our relationship, and I don't want that to happen. That's not a law. So, with that much over, we come to the word of the Lord here, and in verse 18 of chapter 2 of Genesis, it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone, so I will make a helpmeet for him. I wonder why the Lord God said that. He was okay. He didn't need any helpmeet. He walked with God every day. And the truth was that God was in him. So he wasn't alone. So it says, that's what the Lord God said. It's not good for the man to be alone. So we may question, why did the Lord God say that? Obviously behind it was a plan of God. And so it comes down to verse 20. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. Because there was nobody, nothing in the animal world nothing in the bird world or any other aspect of creation that could be a helpmeet for him. So it says then here that he formed every beast of the field, and he brought Adam there to see what he would call them. In other words, remember, the name in the Bible always refers to the nature. So he was told to grant give the nature to all of the animals, the birds, and everything, to give them their nature or name. And so he did that. But of course, there was no helpmeet found for him there. So it says now in verse 21, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. So this is the first anesthetic, if you like. First operation under anesthetic. It's called a deep sleep here in our English Bible. It was a trance in the Hebrew Bible, and it says it fell upon Adam, and he slept, and he slept, and he slept, and he's still sleeping. Okay. So it says that in this deep sleep that he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. This is not a creation. This is not God creating a woman. God never created a woman. So, this is something else. It says here that the rib, of course, it wasn't just a rib that was taken out of Adam. It was that female part of his being. And it says that the Lord God, when he took that female part out of him, from that he made a woman. He made, not created, he made a woman and brought her to the man. So now we understand, of course, that the woman is not a creation of God. Therefore, she would be lacking in a number of ways. If she had been created out of God, then she would have been in the image and likeness of God, but she wasn't. She was just something that pertained to man himself, but was the man called her woman. The Hebrew man, the Hebrew word for man is ish, W-E-S-H, and the Hebrew name for the woman is Ishah. So you see how they fit together. And so it says that when he had made this woman, he brought the woman to Adam, to the man. So here's Adam now. He's looking at this creature. I know that he's still sleeping, because if he wasn't sleeping, he would have said, "Who are you? Where in the world did you come from?" Because I know God never created anybody else apart from that first man. But he never said that. He looked at the woman and he said, "You are bone of my bones, and you are flesh of my flesh." He aligned himself with the woman. He did not align the woman with him, because he was created. but he aligned himself with the woman and said that your flesh and your bones are the same as mine. Now, it's the first time the word flesh is used in the Bible, so nobody had ever mentioned flesh before this moment. But that's what Adam said. You are flesh of my flesh, you are bones, bone of my bones. So he's asleep. And as a result, of course, he has now demoted himself to become equal with the woman. So we don't read very much now about the detail of how things happened, but immediately the woman leaves Adam. I mean, it's not like as if he said, well, you know, I'd like to get to know you for a bit, you know, let's sit down and chat together or whatever. No. Immediately the woman takes off on her own, because she is going to carve her own life and whatever. She's going to make her own future. And so this is what she does. But as she takes off and goes away from Adam, there seems to be a serpent around there. And that serpent has got his eye right on that woman. Why didn't the serpent go for Adam? Because Adam was Christ. He was Christ. How do I know he was Christ? Because in Genesis 2 verse 7, it says here, and the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the earth. In other words, he gave him a body, because he knew that God wanted the man to have a body. And he knew that he, because he was Christ Jesus, he needed a body on the earth. So the man that he produces out of himself is the Christ, the same as himself. The same as himself. Let's go back. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man. Genesis 1, verse 27. And it says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. It should be him, because there's no them in God. God is not a them. God is a him. But anyway, the translators had a little problem there. So we now understand that male and female were part of creation. You got this?
Yes.
Male and female, female, is part of creation. But not in the physical realm.
Yes.
Male and female, in God's understanding, is spirit. Not in the man, not in the mortal manifestation of man. Well, there is a parable sense in it, yes, there is. But don't just think of it as a fable story. No. The Bible is written in parabolic language. I mean, for goodness sake, you got a snake that talks here. We know that it's not a snake that talks. I mean, you'd make a fortune if you had one of them today. So the man that was created out of God, that first man, which is Christ Jesus, it says here that he is male and female because he is spirit, right? And spirit belongs in the spirit world, and male and female belong in the spirit world, not in our world. God never created a woman. Got it? All right. Just hang on to it. There's a lot more to the story than this. Okay. Now verse 28. And it says here, God blessed them. That's because the translators could not understand that God would talk to a man and say, I want you to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That was just too much for them. So he said God spoke to them, and most Christians will tell you, oh, that's Adam and Eve. It's not Adam and Eve. This is still talking to the man that was created in Genesis 1:26, which is Christ Jesus. And what does he say to him? He says to this man, and God blessed him, and God said to him, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Okay? It's got you all wondering, hasn't it? Well, you say, how can a man do that? He says to fill the earth. Yeah. Well, that's what he wanted. That's what God wanted. Didn't he want to fill the earth? Of course. But you see, we need to turn back now to our what we were talking about this afternoon. This is James 1, verse 18. James 1, verse 18. Of his own will, God begat us. God didn't have to find a woman in order to beget us. It was no problem to him because he is spirit. Spirit is male and female. So therefore, of his own will, God begat us that we should be, and this is my translation, that we should be a kind of first fruit of the God kind of people.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
That's what he wanted to fill the earth with.
Yes.
But when Adam is on the outside of the garden, he and Eve get together and they have a son. And then a little while later, they have another son. But the first son is a murderer and he kills his brother. Was that what God was talking about, filling the earth with?
Yeah.
I don't think so. So what God really wanted was to fill the earth with the God kind of people. In other words, the offspring of God. We have not yet done it unless you've gone ahead and beaten me to it. Has anybody done it yet? To produce the God kind of children? No person on this earth, not even Christians, can guarantee that their kids are going to be holy and separated unto God. They can't guarantee that. And as you look around today, as I look around today, and I see even, you know, some of my friends and even some of my relatives and their kids are, you know, they're gone berserk, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So, we have not done what God required. Because that first man, he was told, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. That is to fill this earth with the kind of people that are the offspring of God. How can we reproduce the offspring of God? Because this is what he wants us to do. Well, how did he do it? He didn't have any problem because he was spirit, and spirit is male and female functioning together as one. But then Christ is your identity too, is he not?
Yes.
And he is spirit, which means that you must be spirit also. Therefore, you are male and female,
yes,
functioning together as one. Do you understand?
Yes.
God never created a soul. He never created a soul. Okay. I won't keep you in suspense. You see, God knew what he knew what he was doing. And he knew what he wanted, and his program was absolutely perfect for it. You see, the male and the female of the spirit is not a man and a woman. The male and the female, the male is Christ in every case, not the man. It's Christ. And the female is all of us. Did you know that in the Garden of Eden, everybody, when Adam looked at that woman and lowered himself to her standard of bones and flesh, that all of mankind became the woman. And that's why he was called a living soul. And that's the reason why he was a living soul. The soul is not a part of the spirit. Don't get that crazy idea. I mean, that's what the church will teach you. How could the soul be a part of the spirit? God never created a soul. In creation, you don't read that God created the man, you know, a spirit, a soul, and a body. Well, he didn't even have a body because he was pure spirit.
Yes.
And there was no mention of any soul. The soul is your body under the control of the carnal mind. That's the soul, the living soul. The woman, we all, like us men, as well as the women, all became the woman from God's point of view. Yeah. Now let me just get this straight for you. When God looks at me as a man, he sees Christ, because that's our identity.
Yes.
When God looks at a woman, what does he see?
Christ.
He sees Christ. So from God's point of view, there is no difference between a man and a woman. No difference from God's point of view. And yet, civilization has made the woman second class. In marriage, the woman is to obey her husband. In marriage, the man is the head of the house. In the church, the woman has got to zip the lip. She's not allowed to say anything. Well, that's what Paul said. No, he wasn't. He was not really saying that. Every place where Paul is talking about the woman, he's talking about the living soul,
Amen.
Which includes the man. He said, I suffer not a woman to preach. Yeah. What was he saying? Was he just talking about people like you? No. He was talking about anybody whose carnal mind is ruling their body and controlling them. He said, I don't permit them to preach. Brother, that'd wipe a lot of them out there, wouldn't it? That'd wipe a whole heap of them out. So now, having got this over, and you're not angry with me anymore now, because, you see, in Kenya, where I've ministered quite a deal, the Maumau tribe are very, very big, strong, healthy men. There was a war there many years ago now called the Maumau War, and it was a terrible, terrible war. Anyway, if you had been over there like I have, you watch them walking along the road. And here's this big man, you know, with big shoulders and great big muscles on their arms, walking along the road like this. Where's their wife? She's about 12 paces behind him. And she's got half a ton of firewood on her head and probably nursing two little babies. And she's staggering along. That's women in the raw, if you like, when it comes to those people. So the woman has been put down over all of the years in civilization, and when you come to religion and the Islamic church concept, the woman is just about the goods and chattels that you own, that's all. Yeah. Nothing more. So that obviously was not God's plan and intention that she be like that. So in this we are beginning to understand or getting a different complex on the whole thing. That the woman is really nothing less than what we are in this world. Now, she was never created. That's why she's the living soul, because God never created a soul anyway. So the living soul, but the point is that we all, men and women, all became the living soul. Everybody. Everybody, bar none. We became the living soul. So then, from God's point of view, we're all the woman. Yeah. So now, where do we fit in? Well, Christ is spirit, and spirit is male and female. So therefore, where do we fit in? We are the bride.
That's it.
Of the bridegroom,
yes.
Of the Christ. You see, we are actually, we are joined to the Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Oh, sorry, 2 Corinthians, huh? I always get that one for some reason mixed up. Chapter 11, verse 2. Have a good look at this. Paul says, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband. And he's talking to everybody. He said, I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Isn't that good? So now, this is lifting you up. This is lifting you up to think that you and I are equal together in terms of we are the bride of Christ.
Yes.
Now, we have churches in the world today who claim we are the bride of Christ. Nobody else, just us. Well, I got news for them.
Yes.
But now, wait a minute. Before I go on, I want to bring this right home to you. It was about 18 months ago when God began to show me these things. That's all, about 18 months ago. So since then, one day, I was sitting there, and there's my wife sitting there on the chair, just not far from me. And a sudden, I thought to myself, well, Lord, if my wife is also the bride of the Christ, well, what am I going to do with her now? I mean, she's still my wife, you know. We've had 5 children together, got 17 grandchildren, we've got 16 great-grandchildren. I mean, you know, she's really done her part in filling the earth. Because God said, no, that's not what I was really talking about. But she's the bride of Christ. My attitude toward my wife jumped about, you know, 15 feet, I think. And I began to see her as she truly is. And that has made such an impact upon our marriage. We've had a good marriage. I mean, this is the 60th year of our marriage now. So you can understand we haven't had too many fights or we'd have been gone by now. So here we are in our 60th year, and I suddenly discover that my wife out there is the bride of Christ, but then so am I. And here we are heavenly creatures. So, what does God really want us to do? Well, he said, what was that verse? 28, Genesis chapter 1. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Now, that was not said to a man and a woman. That was said to the male and the female of the Spirit.
Yes.
Okay, so now, if I am male and female, which I am, then I am capable of reproducing spiritually.
Yes.
Now, yesterday we were talking about the consciousness, you know, the earthly consciousness and the spiritual consciousness, how different they are. So now we're talking about reproduction, but not reproduction as with an egg and a sperm, which can only produce the seed of man. That's all. But we're talking now about the male and the female of the Spirit. And all it will reproduce is Christ.
Yes.
That's all. Because that's who it is. The male and the female, that is the Spirit. And that Spirit is Christ.
Yes.
So now, when the male and the female comes together in the Spirit, not in the natural, then the result will be the birthing of the Christ.
Yes.
That's back in Genesis 1:28. And that is what God is expecting of all of us.
Yes.
The reproduction is by the Spirit, not it's not a
right.
physical right. reproduction.
Right.
But now what is the result of that? If we reproduce the Christ, then in Christ is all of humanity.
Yes.
So when we are talking about the kingdom of God and every knee on this earth bowing to Jesus Christ, And every tongue confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're starting to see that maybe that could possibly be.
Yes.
So, the concept of spiritual reproduction is very real, but it's almost unknown amongst God's people. Almost unknown.
Amen.
But you see, the truth is that we've all become the woman, all of us. So that takes away any gender problems, you know, where we can look down at the woman and say, well, you're a woman, God never created you, and so on. The truth is that we both became that woman because of what Adam did.
Yes.
Now, let's back up just a little, because Adam was asleep, so he doesn't really know what we're talking about here now. He doesn't really know you know, about the spiritual reproduction. He's got the woman. And of course he ends up on the outside of the garden. And now it's Adam and Eve. Of course in our world it's Adam and Steve, but in that time it was Adam and Eve. Well, they do change it a bit, don't they? But you see, their children were not the children of God. As I say, the first brother became a murderer, and then you go up to chapter 6 and you find out that all the men could produce was women. It was the females, that's all they could produce. They couldn't produce any males. But in God, we can reproduce, and it is the Christ that is reproduced.
Yes.
And this is what God really has purposed for us. So that when you go over now into the New Testament and you find an angel that comes and talks to a little young lady called Mary and says, Mary, you're going to have a child. She said, well, you got the wrong person here because I'm not married. And the angel said, no problem. Don't worry. She said, but, you know, what are you really talking about? And he said, you're going to have a child because you have been selected by God. You've been chosen by God. You have been blessed by God. And this holy thing that shall be born of you will be called a son of God. So there was no question about what he was to be. And this is a little virgin girl.
Yes.
So in the end she said, okay, tell me how this can happen. How can it happen? The angel said, okay, I'll tell you. You see, the Holy Spirit will come upon you.
Yes.
See, this is not physical.
Yes.
This has got nothing to do with the natural world.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the shadow of the Most High God will overshadow you, and that holy thing that shall be born of you will be called a son of God, or the Son of God, because there's only one. And we are all expected to birth him, ultimately.
Yes.
So this is an interesting little issue that, as I say, I've never heard anyone in the churches preaching or speaking about. But this is the reality that yet has to dawn upon us. And I've shared this with you tonight, not expecting that you'll go home and say, yeah, I understand all of this, but just hide it in your heart. Because this is the reality of the woman being on the earth.
Yes.
Now, what did God say about this? Well, as soon as this took place in Genesis chapter 2, the last verse, or the second last verse, I think it is, in the chapter, what does it say? And God said, for this cause, for this reason. What reason? Because of the man or the woman being male and female, the man being male and female, the spirit being male and female, because of this, a man would leave his father and his mother and would cleave unto his wife. Why? For this cause. Because we felt that we were incomplete. That's why.
Say that again.
We thought we were incomplete. Because we have all believed, us men, we have all believed the woman was taken out of us. You got it? We've all believed. And when we get married, now we're complete, see? The male and the female. And here we are, we're joined together in marriage, in matrimony, and we're having a wonderful time. For a while. So this is now very interesting, isn't it? Did you realize that was what was behind marriage? That a man would go out and search for a wife? Because he felt incomplete. I need somebody. I need somebody. I need somebody.
Yeah.
And I was talking to a man just recently, a preacher, who is, I think he was 78 or 79, and he's just got married again. His wife died, and he said, this is no good, I can't live on my own anymore. So he looked around and found a woman, and lo and behold, he's married again. Okay. I'm not going to judge him, he's welcome. So now, I've got the punchline to come yet on this little story. All right, here it is. When the Lord God put Adam to sleep, what did he take out of the man? The Bible says he took a rib. And the reason for that was that the leaders of the Jewish church at that time, they said, you see, if he'd taken a bone out of his head, then she would have lorded it over him. If the Lord God had taken a bone from his leg, then he would have walked all over her, you know. So he took it from her ribs and made her equal. That's just
Jewish
folklore, you know.
Right.
Okay? So, no, the reason why we get married is because we have all believed that the woman was taken out of us. Whether consciously or unconsciously. But I've got something to tell you. It is an absolute, total impossibility for the female part to ever be taken out or separated from spirit. It is impossible. If it was possible to separate the male and the female of the spirit, you could take God apart because God is spirit. Therefore, you could take the female part or the and separate it, and then you wouldn't have God. You'd only have half a God. You understand? So this is the truth. I do not believe that anything or at least from the female aspect, could be taken out of the man. The man is spirit, the same the woman is spirit, and in neither case can the female and the male be separated. Because you would not have spirit, that means Christ could be separated, that means God could be separated, that's impossible. So now, what was the purpose then of all this? This is the test.
The test. Amen.
This is the test.
That's it.
It's a test to see whether our love for God is true.
Yes.
Or is it false? There are many people that love God, their reason being they want something from God, and that is a ticket for heaven. So there are many. There are perhaps a bigger crowd of people in the church that love God because they don't want to go to hell. There's probably, that's a bigger crowd. So love for God can never be anything but complete and total in an act of pure consecration,
yes,
of ourselves unto him.
Yes.
And in that case, the male and the female, and we are the female, remember,
yes,
all of us, men,
yes,
and women, the female then becomes, we find ourselves as that bride of the Christ. And Paul said, I've espoused you,
yes,
to one husband.
Amen.
And then in Revelation chapter 21, listen to this. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, because the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea, because the sea separates people, and there is to be no separation when the kingdom is complete. And I, John, saw the holy city,
yes,
the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And what did it look like? A bride,
yes,
that's dressed, ready for, yes, the marriage.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Yes, beautiful. Amen.
You see, it all has to do with love.
Yes.
It all has to do with our love for God.
Yes.
And I said to you in the beginning, the word woman, as I sought to find its meaning in the language of Israel, it came to me that it really was a test.
Amen. That's a key word. Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
And it is a test.
Yes.
It is a test. The Son of God is Christ.
Right.
And Christ is Spirit.
That's right.
See? The first one that God created, the first man was Christ, and he is the only begotten Son of the Father. He's the only one. We were all created in him.
Yes.
So that's why we are joined to him absolutely and completely. We are the female. Matthew 22, what do you find that chapter starts with? Starts with a wedding. The father of the king, the prince, he said, my son's got to be married. And I've got the wedding all ready, and the invitations have been sent out. That was to Israel. And then he said to his servants, okay, go out there. Now tell them, today's the day. And everybody is to come. Go out there. So the servants all went out. They come back and they said, they won't come. They say, you know, thanks very much for the invitation, but you know, we're busy. I mean, it's farm time. I mean, you know, we've got a crop out there we've got to take in, and we're sorry, you know, but we just can't make the wedding. So what does he do? The king says, okay, I want you to get out there now and go out into the highways and the byways and everybody you can find. Come on, bring him in. My son has to be married. Isn't that interesting? And what was the last thing that Jesus said to the people before he went away? He said, and this last word that I leave with you, that ye love one another. But this is not just, you know, we like each other.
No.
This is a relationship of the Spirit which produces the Christ. We're dealing with another realm here. That's why I stress this is spiritual we're talking about. If you get this mixed up with our natural life, you're going to make a mortal mess. It's spiritual. And that's why when I looked at my wife out there, I said to God, what am I going to do with my wife there now? He said, you just put her back where she belongs, in here. And I said, okay. So that means that I've got to treat her like she is the bride of Christ.
Yes.
And I tell you, I have done that. Okay, well, this is, this is spiritual thinking. This is a spiritual concept, and I believe that it's necessary for us to know. And I'm not saying that, you know, there's any great activity involved, except that we are to birth the Christ for ourselves.
Yes.
Which means that although I can say today, tonight, Christ is my identity.
Yes.
You can just imagine that if that Christ is birthed in me, as it was in that virgin lady, that there would be a response within me far greater than anything else would produce. See? And tomorrow, I would like to show you this in practice in the Bible. So you will begin to see how this functions. When Eve was talking to the snake, and he was saying to her, you know, hath God said? She said, yes, God did say we're not to touch or not to eat the fruit of that tree. And she said, or God said, if we eat the fruit of that tree in the same day, we will die. And the serpent says, you will not die. So she thought, oh, you might be right. Maybe we can eat the fruit of that tree. So she went a bit closer and she looked, and then the five senses got in on the act. And she saw it was good for food, etc., etc. And she put her hand out, picked the fruit, and ate it. Now, she takes the fruit into Adam, who is Christ. He knows what the consequences of this are. He knows. He's not blind, he's not deaf, and he's not dumb. He understands. And so what does he do? You see, Eve never had a chance because her mind was deceived. And if your mind is deceived, you will never know it. And you just act out accordingly, whatever you want to do. So you have no concept of it being wrong. But Adam knew exactly what the consequences would be, that if he ate that fruit, that he would pay for it with his life. And he did at Calvary. You follow?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me go one step further. Eve never stood a chance. She was deceived. So she couldn't make a decision. When you're deceived, you just follow the deception and you play it through. Adam was not deceived. So he could make a decision. Now let me tell you, here's the two decisions. If he had said, okay, Eve, I know what you've done, and I think you're a great lady, and you know, I'd really like to help you, but I'm just not touching that fruit because I know what the result will be. If he had done that, do you know what would have happened? All of humanity would never have known the redemption that's in Christ. You understand that? Okay. Therefore, Adam did not eat that fruit in rebellion against God. He didn't. He ate that fruit so that the woman could remain with him and that the redemption of God could take care of both. So I just wanted you to know that, because that is very, very important. Okay, this is another thing God never created. In fact, I believe there was only one tree there. But it was either the tree of life to you, or it would be the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
That's right.
And we have the same thing today. We have people that are chasing after knowledge. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
And we've got those that are after Christ. And there's your two trees. So it's exactly the same. I believe there's only one tree, yes. Yes. So God never created a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But see, that's created in the carnal mind. That's now, all of these things that I share like this, it is not possible for anybody just to sit here tonight, and some of these things you probably have never really deeply thought about, and I'm giving you some answers. I want you just simply to hide what you've heard tonight in your heart. And let God and the Spirit work this thing through in your life until you can be happy and relaxed, and you say, yeah, I think I understand what really went on there. Because I'm telling you, the woman was never taken out of the man. I believe that was an impossibility. Simply because if you could remove the male from the female of the Spirit, then you could take God apart, because he is Spirit. And you could take Christ apart and separate them.
I know you were speaking earlier about him sleeping.
He's still asleep.
And Adam's still sleeping.
Yeah.
So that's why in 1 Corinthians 15:34, Paul says,
awake
to righteousness. Amen. Listen, you're a wonderful group of people, and I just want to say thank you for your being here tonight. And some of these things, I don't know, I mean, that was just, the Father just said that this is what we were to talk about tonight. And as I say, I want you to hide it in your heart. Don't try and go out and tell somebody else about it until you are happy and comfortable.
Yes.
Understanding by the Spirit. Not because Des Walter told you. You know, I've had people go and say, well, Des Walter told me this, so it's got to be right. Well, amen.